Judge Albright, in your court, is that how you see Markman as well?
Well, let me start by apologizing in advance to these judges, because if the press finds out that we were together, their names are going to be in a really bad headline tomorrow. So maybe not. pretty good chance. The truth is, don't tell Judge Schrader, but you know, I stole most of what I do in terms of Markman's from either the way he did it or the way he told me he did it. For example, I think the thing that's been most invaluable that he suggested I do was give the preliminary constructions. We did shift pretty early from giving them out the morning of to giving them out at least, if we can, by no later than 5 o'clock the day before, and usually earlier, with the idea that the lawyers can then huddle and they can huddle with their clients. And the real, and I'd like to say I'm doing that to help the lawyers, and you can think I'm doing that, but the reality is it helps me, because it's the in 90% of the cases, probably higher, if we've been asked to construe 12 terms or 10 terms, the parties will come back and say, we only want to argue 4 or 3 or, I mean, or none. I've had an amazing number of, we don't need, you know, we'll rest our papers, and we don't need a hearing, and so, which is amazing. So so my Markmans, I don't think I've had a Markman go past 2 hours in the 150 Markmans I've done. I mean, maybe a handful, but, the one thing I would like to promote, as I try to at every one of these, is the beauty of, I'm going to continue doing, I don't know what these judges are going to do, I'm going to continue doing my Markmans by Zoom, because it not only allows the clients to attend and watch their lawyers and watch opposing counsel and watch me, and it not only saves money, but I'm a huge advocate in having younger and less experienced lawyers get to participate. And what happens in a very high percentage of my cases is a law firm like Katz will call and say, hey, you know, really we want to argue 4 terms, but if you'll do it, we'll give two of the terms, extra terms, so that a first-year or second-year associate can argue them. To which I always say, absolutely, yes. In fact, we promote it. And so it's probably more than 50% of my Markmans, someone like Kat will say, Judge, this is Mary Smith, this is her first time to appear in front of a federal judge, and you know, and she'll get to argue it, and they always, you know, always do a great job because they're super prepared. So you know, to me, something I do that's much different than Delaware, I guess, is we stay discovery until the Markman. And the trade-off, which I do like Judge Connolly, is in 99.9999, you get a ruling. I give you the preliminary constructions the day before. You get the final construction that day. I think I've had one claim term where we waited a day and thought about it. So, and then the next day, discovery starts, and you get your trial date, which is, you know, probably 14 to 16 months out. So the Markman's a pretty big procedural event in my court, because it marks the beginning of discovery, and also you get your firm trial date.
Very helpful to hear how different ways of doing the same thing can be really effective in you know, moving your cases forward and managing the kind of crushing caseload of and docket that each of you has. You know, in addition to claim construction and Markman, another hot issue these days is the interplay of the district court case with the IPR, and this morning's session was much about that. You know, when you look at your docket and you know that there is an IPR filed in the patents in your cases, you know, what is your view on the factors that are most influential to you on whether or not you are going to stay that case a pending IPR? Judge Jordan, do you want to start with that one?
Sure. I think most of the time, and the way most of those motions play out, probably the single most important factor is whether or not it's actually going to streamline proceedings in our court, because you know, from a timing standpoint, when depending on when they've filed their petition relative to where they are in the district court proceeding, it may well be that what we're looking at is something where it won't streamline our proceedings. And of course, from our standpoint, you know, at the end of the day, it's whether or not the PTAB is going to take the review. And if they're not going to take the review, then it's not going to streamline anything. And if they are, then obviously it could. And so the way that plays out, I think, in a number of instances is that we, you know, that is the relevant time frame often for when to make the decision of whether it will or will not streamline proceedings. Because I think the other factors that we're looking at regarding prejudice, et cetera, are just usually the way they play out is they're more neutral. And that tends to be the most important inquiry.